Go to the mall, won't you?
Let's go to the mall, everybody!
Everybody, come and play. Throw every last care away.
Let's go.
How I Met Your Mother, a bit of nostalgia there. Well, actually, nostalgia may be the point here. General Growth Properties yesterday, one of the biggest mall operators in the United States, filed for bankruptcy. It's a consequence of the terrible environment economically in the retail sector, but there's more going on here. We are seeing more and more malls die out. In fact, as our next guest wrote in the New York Times earlier this month, no new malls have been built in the United States since 2006. Joining us now from Atlanta is Ellen Dunham Jones. She's director of the architecture program at the Georgia Institute of Technology. Ellen, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
You know, malls proliferated because of some big sociological changes in the United States, moves to the suburbs, growth in the suburbs, the car culture in the United States, even the proliferation of air conditioning technology allowed malls to exist and actually become a kind of icon of America. What's changed?
Well, a lot has changed. For one thing, the demographics in suburbia is undergoing a pretty major shift. We've seen a lot of suburban office growth, and that's drawn more and more young professionals to work in suburbia who have not yet started families. And we've still been building a lot of retail in the suburbs, but it's increasingly been open-air lifestyle centers or town centers that cater much more to an adult population than the teens who really are the lifeblood of malls and who sort of the voices in the intro music that we heard.
And, you know, many of those teens are probably online being sort of virtual mall rats rather than hanging out literally in the spaces, right?
There's an aspect of that. Certainly the internet has nipped into sales, although I really don't think that's the big factor. I think we're also seeing that malls really have, to a certain sense, been built out. The malls that are really thriving are those that are located at major highway exits. And the earlier generation of malls that were built at sort of suburban arterial locations just aren't getting the traffic, and we haven't been building that many new highways to really sort of fuel more new mall growth.
Now, gas prices, of course, are down. Is transportation and the cost of getting to the mall and the requirement that you use your car a consideration that over the long term makes malls not only a bad business idea, but really almost irrelevant to the way we're going to be living in the future?
I certainly think so in the long term. I don't know that we can't prove that that's actually really been happening yet. But the trend has been for a lot of older malls to be redeveloped as mixed-use town centers where with public streets and retail at the ground level and people living and working above the mall shops. And it's really providing a lot of suburbs with downtowns that they didn't used to have or revitalizing them and speaking to the new demographics where a lot of people want to live a more urban, more convenient lifestyle that is less car dependent, even though it's in a more or less suburban location.
Well, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but you are director of the architecture program at the Georgia Institute of Technology. What's an example of a really creative reuse, repurposing of a mall space, which is what, a couple of boxes and a big parking lot, right?
Yeah, well, there have been all sorts of amazing reuses. I mean, really almost anything you can name has at some point or another found its way into a mall. We've seen them turned into nursing homes, into community colleges. We've seen them become artist spaces. But we've also seen many malls be largely demolished, often the department stores because those are multi-story and they're can easily be adaptively reused. But we've often seen all of the inline stores be demolished and then replaced with real open-air streets and higher density living.
So they literally dig up the parking lot and create a network of streets and then put smaller buildings along them and maybe preserve some of the big boxes as kind of central downtown-y sorts of buildings. But it's kind of like a Disneyfication.
There are people that especially a lot of architects really often sort of decry this as instant urbanism and somewhat faux and false. But I think when you look at many of the neighborhoods in New York, really were actually built in over a pretty short period of time. The neighborhoods like Morningside Heights were really built out in about 15 years. And they were the instant urbanism of their day, but they've now grown into beloved neighborhoods. I think places like Bel Mar is a really great suburban retrofit just outside of Denver, or the Cottonwood Mall that was planned as one of General Growth's major retrofits outside of Salt Lake City, are examples of projects that in time will lose that instant kind of patina. It's more, what's really important is getting that urban structure that allows us to not have to rely on our cars.
Finally, in this mission of repurposing, how is the question of urban planning and sprawl addressed best, do you think, before we go? And we just have about a minute.
What's really interesting is we're starting to see much more nodal development. So instead of a single core downtown and then endless suburbs, we're getting more urban pockets throughout the larger metro area. And that reduces overall trip lengths and does help to start to retrofit sprawl itself.
That's my takeaway. Nodal, what did you call it? Nodal development?
Polycentric nodes,
polycentric.
If you want a really geeky term.
Ooh, that's great. Polycentric nodes. Yes, you learned it here first on The Takeaway. Ellen Dunham-Jones, thanks so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
She's the director of the architecture program at the Georgia Institute of Technology, talking about the future of malls. And it turns out, if we get past this economic difficulty, maybe a positive future.